This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. 50 years ago, in the early morning hours of March 6, 1953, Radio Moscow broadcast this startling announcement.
Говорит Москва. Дорогие товарищи и друзья.
Soon after, this bulletin crossed the Atlantic.
On March the 5th, at 9:50 in the evening, Joseph Vissarionovich Stalin passed away after a severe illness.
The man who led the Soviet Union through war, suffering, and turbulence, a lot of it that he caused himself, had suffered a massive stroke and never regained consciousness. He was 73. Stalin was one of the signature figures of the 20th century, a man with a bristly mustache and ever-present pipe who liked to be portrayed as Papa Joe, the father of his country. He may have also killed more people than any other person of the century. In the 1930s, Stalin presided over a massive purge of Communist Party leaders and intellectuals. He brutally forced the collectivization of Soviet agriculture and sent millions into gulags and prison camps. He signed a pact with Adolf Hitler, who then invaded the USSR. Stalin then reached an accord with the Allies. Under his command, the Soviet Union suffered the greatest losses of World War II, but the Red Army stopped Hitler in the cold of Stalingrad and the snows of the Russian steppes. Stalin created a cult of personality that made him the Soviet Union's deity. When he died, the world was shocked, and the Soviet people were inconsolable. For the next few minutes, we're going to hear the recollections of two Russians who remember Stalin's death vividly. In 1953, both were 20-year-old students, but from families with profoundly different perspectives. Sergei Khrushchev remembers hearing the news from his father, Nikita Khrushchev, who was a Soviet minister and a member of Stalin's small inner circle. He had just returned from Stalin's dacha.
He came home sometime around midnight, and he sit in the dining room on the sofa, very tired, and looks pale. And then after some moment he told Stalin died, and then he just seated silent. And for me it was like the end of the world, and I didn't know what to do, to cry or not to cry.
Moscow State Radio played Chopin's funeral march over and over as thousands of people spontaneously headed to Red Square. Many were weeping. Several hundred people were trampled or choked to death in the crowd. Sergei Khrushchev persuaded his classmates to join him to say goodbye.
And we walked more than 10 miles, and we moved very slowly. It was like a small stream becoming one big river. And when it became dark, we stopped. But you cannot go forward because that people was ahead of you. You couldn't go left and right. So we were packed there. But slowly all these crowds dispersed. And I came to our apartment near the Kremlin. And my mother and father was there very nervous. They told, we called everywhere, and the police, and the hospital, and the funeral houses, where you were. And I told, oh, we tried to go to just say goodbye to Stalin, but was packed, we could not go. And I remember my father told me, if you wanted to look him, I will take you there. And then I saw Stalin at last. The crowds and the people going through, the music is playing, his daughter and the son were there. And in half an hour, I left.
Sergei Khrushchev says that Stalin might have lived longer if he hadn't fired all of his doctors.
He really trusted only his aide, Poskrebyshev, who was in his previous life, he was the animal doctor. So he gave him advices.
Mr. Khrushchev, when you were a college student back then, did you love Joseph Stalin?
I think everybody loved Joseph Stalin. He was like a god. Mm-hmm. You know, what now many people think, no, we know all the crimes, we just hated Stalin. It's untrue. It was maybe some small minority who knew something. It was very dangerous, first of all. And then this propaganda made all this environment that you have to love him. And we loved him because my father, before Stalin's death, never talked about him. You have to understand that to talk in our family about Stalin was even much more dangerous than in any others.
Well, you anticipate, because my next question was, did your father love Joseph Stalin? at least at one point in his life.
My father was normal sexual orientation, so
No, Mr. Khrushchev.
It's a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But he was the supporter of Stalin until the purges started. And of course, during the war, this negative feeling grew. So I think that after the war, he became the real anti-Stalinist in his heart, because you cannot say anything. He had to praise Stalin each year more and more. If you look through all his speeches, he's talking about the brilliancy of Stalin and all other things.
What kind of courage did it take your father to denounce Stalin, it must be said after he was dead, at the party congress that followed?
But it was 1956. He was a true believer in the communism, and he told that we are building the paradise on the earth. We cannot surround this paradise by the barbed wire. We have to tell people truth, because if we will not tell them truth, millions who will go out of the prisons and the concentration camp, they will ask us why we were there.
How many people do you think Joseph Stalin killed?
I don't know. Nobody knows. They estimating that during these purges and everything, it was 5-6 million. But if you adding there all the losses during the collectivization that created the famine, it's huge numbers. But the Russians still thinking that he was not a criminal, that he was a great leader. He won the war against Hitler, and he made the Soviet Union the great power. And when asking them, what about all these people, they told, we forgave him. Not big deal, 50 million, not big deal.
Sergei Khrushchev, his father was Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev. The parents of novelist Vasily Aksionov were victims of Joseph Stalin.
And when Stalin died, I couldn't help being happy.
In March of 1953, Mr. Aksionov was a medical student in Kazan, a provincial city about 500 miles east of Moscow. He was walking with some friends to a restaurant when he heard the news. It cheered him because in 1937, Stalin's secret police had arrested his mother. A few months later, they came for his father. His parents spent more than 15 years in forced labor camps in Siberia. Mr. Aksionov's parents had been members of the Communist Party elite. His father was a member of the Central Committee of the USSR and the mayor of Kazan. His mother was a university professor there. The authorities put Vasily, who was then just 4 years old, into an orphanage for children of enemies of the people. A few months later, one of his uncles got him out.
Even now, I don't know how he managed to get the permission for getting me out of that. Mm-hmm. So I was 4 years old, four something, and I didn't know what's going on with my parents. I was too small to ask about that. I was asking where my father and mother. They were saying, oh, they are on the long appointment to the North Siberia working for our motherland. So I was just indoctrinated in a way by my relatives.
When he was 16, Mr. Aksionov left Kazan and traveled 10 time zones across eastern Russia to live with his mother. It was the first time he'd been allowed to see her since her arrest. By then she had completed her sentence of forced labor, but was still in internal exile in Magadan. Going there changed Mr. Aksionov's view of his country.
And so I saw this capital of this gigantic gulag, yeah, with watchtowers, barbed wire, columns of the convicts marching along the streets, all these kind of things. And I realized finally who Stalin was, you know. I finally saw that that's just a criminal regime terrorizing the entire population. So by the 16, I was already anti-Stalinist. Mm-hmm. And when Stalin died, I was really happy by this news. Meanwhile, around me, I saw this some sense of cosmic catastrophe. People refused to believe that they lost their father, mm-hmm, that godlike personality. It was unthinkable, even for those who didn't like him, to imagine the country without Stalin.
When you were in medical school in 20 and Stalin died, and you were happy, and a lot of your classmates, it sounds like, were heartsick, how free did you feel to express your feelings? Did you say to any of your classmates, boy, are you wrong?
Only to one closest friend of mine who also had this near Gulag experience. Mm-hmm. Only with him. I couldn't even talk about that with candor, even to my friends.
Well, just from your personal experience, did Soviet life change much after Stalin's death? 1 year, 3 years, 5 years later?
I would say that almost immediately, a couple of months later, there were already some changes. For instance, some foreign movies turned up on the screens, some publications in the literary magazines has changed. He was mentioned less frequently, without usual glorification. In a year or two, there were some drastic changes, of course, around us. Mm-hmm. That was already what was later called the thaw. It turned out that the monolith he created was not that solid, was rather fragile.
Mm-hmm. The thaw of which you spoke.
Yeah.
Did that enable you to become a writer?
Yeah, very much so, very much so.
Mr. Aksionov, you grew up in a family that paid a very heavy price for Stalin's rule. Looking back on it, how much do you think the Soviet people knew about the murders, the deportations, the imprisonments?
In fact, they knew a lot, but they tried not to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Later on, we found out that the number of prisoners were about 20 million. How could you hide these secrets from populations? So that was a lot of knowledge, but people tried to suppress this knowledge, not to talk about this. I remember how we, as kids and the high school kids, were walking along the Magadan streets, and one young boy said, my classmate said, you know, guys, last night I was listening to the new radio. It was called Voice of America. And they said that we don't have liberty in our country. What does it mean, he asked. Meanwhile, the columns of convicts were marching past us, you know, along the street. That was just a naive question. What did they mean?
3 years after Stalin's death, and soon after Nikita Khrushchev had denounced Stalin in a secret speech to the 20th Party Congress, Vasily Aksionov's parents were officially rehabilitated. His mother, Eugenia Ginsburg, went on to write a best-selling memoir of her years in the Gulag, Journey into the Whirlwind. And his father was awarded the Soviet state's highest honor, the Lenin Medal. But in the late 1970s, Vasily Aksionov himself ran afoul of Soviet Premier Leonid Brezhnev, who took offense at one of his novels. He was stripped of his Soviet citizenship and expelled in 1980. 10 years later, Mikhail Gorbachev restored his citizenship. It was just about the time when Mr. Aksionov became an American citizen. He's now a writer in residence and professor of Russian literature at George Mason University. Nikita Khrushchev's son Sergei is a scholar of the Cold War at Brown University. He became an American citizen in 1999. Listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.